for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Final service at the Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. James, you might as well stay up here with me. I want to pray for some of these folks here that are going to be leaving us today. Son, come up here. Let's pray for you this morning. Father, we come and lift our brother up before you this morning. Father, we thank you for your presence that go with him and your anointing. Father, we thank you for wisdom and guidance and direction for him, and for that he'll study your word and hide it in his heart, Father, that he'll stand and declare that it is written, that he'll, and we speak freedom to him, Father, in his mind and in his body. We release him, Father, to a freedom to be an overcomer in Jesus' name. We bind every hindering power and force
that has risen against him even before he was born. We set him free from it, and we break the bondages of it over. We release him to praise and to worship the Lord and rejoice in thee. We release him from all the things of yesterday. We thank you, Father, that they're buried in the deepest sea. And we pray your blessing and your anointing to flow in, over him and with him and to go with him, Father, and make him a testimony that cannot be gainsaid. We thank you for it, Father. We pray, we bless him today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
You needed us to pray.
Yes, your brother-in-law has got lung cancer. And the doctors tell him that he doesn't have very long to live. Father,
thank you, Father.
We anoint our brother.
Yes.
We take authority over this spirit of infirmity. We bind and break its assignment in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask this morning that by the scars and stripes of the whipping post, Father, we bring it to, until it is here present with us right now. And by those stripes, there's healing and restoration. And we curse every spirit, Father, of infirmity and cancer or any other infirmity. I curse it in the name of Jesus. And I bind you, devil. I break your assignment over my brother that this infirmity will not return. I cast you away from him. I bind your power and break your assignment. Put the blood of Jesus to be his covering. We appropriate the scars and stripes into this body and command this body to receive it now in Jesus' name, the healing virtue. And we lift his brother up before you. We speak to that in his brother. We speak that that he shall live and not die. Declare the works of the Lord. We thank you for it. We declare my brother here. He shall live and not die. Declare the works of the Lord. We thank you for it, Father. We give you praise. Father, what the doctors say, but we say that he'll live and not die. In Jesus' name. The demons, you hear that? He'll live and not die. We speak that also, Father, that the doctors will understand that. That he'll live and not die. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The healing virtue of the Lord.
Yeah.
By his stripes, he's healed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We break every curse over him. Over his brother. We break the curse in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
For Jesus, it is written in Galatians 3:13, devil, that Jesus became his curse. We break it over him in Jesus' name. Father, we come and lift this couple up before you.
Yes.
Thank the Lord for their faithfulness. We praise you for it. Father, we come against anything here that would be contrary, Father, to their walk with you. We break the assignment of it over this family, over this couple. We lift up their family before you. Father, I bind to the kingdom of the living God.
Yes,
Father.
Jesus of Nazareth.
And I break every bondage over their lives. And I take authority in the name of Jesus, and I declare that Jesus is Lord. That he is Lord over whatever the situation may seem to be impossible or hopeless. Satan, you're a liar. I break your assignment. I speak life and restoration. And I speak the anointing of the Lord to go forth and to bring that which is needed,
Father,
in the family. Father, that's not here that they stand and represent this day. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for that privilege that we have to agree in agreement with them. And I stand, Father, declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. And to him we give praise. And I thank you, Father. Thank you. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Lord, we pronounce your blessing, Lord. Amen.
Yes.
Lord, to take a walk in liberty from the things that have held them back in time gone by. Thank you, Lord. God, for raising them above the clouds, whereas they felt like there were clouds hanging over them, to keep them from really seeing the brightness of your goodness. And we thank you for lifting them up above the clouds and for clearing these things and these hindering forces in heaven that have come against them. We have rebuked them in the name of Jesus.
We
pronounce your blessing. Lord, you've told us to pray one for another. And Lord, we're obeying you. And Lord, we thank you that you haven't just told us that as idle words. You intend to do your part, Lord. Honor these prayers in the name of Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Well, we all could take a little bit of that, I'm sure. Father, I impart your blessings to those that have been here and gone.
those that are still here. And I pray the protecting care of the angel of the Lord over all as they have traveled and are traveling and will yet travel. Thank you for the angel of the Lord, Father, to both go and be their protection and care. There we go, rejoicing, Father, rejoicing in Thee. For You say that You dwell in the midst of the praises of Your people. So as we praise You, Lord, Your presence is amongst us. And I thank You for it, Jesus. I praise You, Lord. I thank You now, Father, for Your blessings to go forth. As all have been here and have gone and yet going, that they'll carry the blessings of the Lord with them. The joy of the Lord will be their part. And I thank You for it. I praise You for it. I thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. James, have you got anything to add to us here this morning?
Praise God.
I don't know if Speed has or not.
Well, then God won for... I'll be brief, so Speed won't have to be. Ain't God wonderful?
Amen.
We were sitting here yesterday enjoying some of the glorious deliverance that the Lord was bringing forward. I read so many times in the Psalm where the psalmist David used the words, deliver me. And in the Lord's Prayer, one of the main things he told us to pray was, deliver us. And praise God, for he's in the process of delivering us. And if there's people that think that they've got all there is, they don't need deliverance from anything. We heard a lot about last... Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We heard a lot about what is actually happening before us. A fulfillment of the Scriptures. And we see that there's many things we really need the deliverance from God. But just as sure as the Lord told us to pray, deliver us. He is not going to turn away a deaf ear from any of the things that we need delivering from. As I was sitting here yesterday, the Lord gave me a vision. And I'm sure you have seen, like on the television screen, when the television camera was focused on something in the foreground, and then it focused on something else, and this in the front kind of came out of focus, and what was in the middle came into focus, and then maybe they'd focus on something further over there, and there was, and the other two things would kind of go out of focus. I saw tables of stone with words written on the stone in the vision the Lord gave me, and after I looked at it for a while, well, you know, I was in my mind, Lord, what does this mean? And then beyond the stone was a book with words written on the book. And so it sort of began to come together. And then I could see clearly that it was focused on the book. And then you could barely see the stone. And then I saw it focus on something a little further beyond. And it was a heart. And there was words written all on the heart. And I says, yes, thank you, Lord. You chiseled out the word in stone. And that stone is something that is over yonder. And it's over there. And it's something hard. It represents something hard. And Lord, so much we feel like that. People that don't know the truth, and we got to pound it in their heads. But thank you, Lord, that it is not something hard. Then it's not a stone we have to carry around, something that's so heavy, something that's so hard, something that's so burdensome. And that's the way some people seem to feel like their Christian experience and all the do's and the don'ts of walking with Jesus. The hardness that there is in there. We endure hardness. Praise God. Praise God for every bit of it. It gives us something to endure. You see, we don't have to sit around without anything to do, you know. Well, then it focused on the book. No longer is it something all that hard. We got something here that we can, you know, look at and carry around. And we carry it, you know. And then we can read something, and that is something that's... You know, that book is made out of paper and leather, and it's something that we can lay over there, and then we can, you know, go over here. But in such a precious way, God is bringing what was written on the stone, and it was so hard for people in generations gone by He's bringing it to a book that's not lighter. We can look at it and we can check it out and we can have it with us and carry it around with us. Thank God for what He's writing on our heart, and it is carrying us now. We are not carrying it. It is not something that's hard. It is not a burden. It's not something that we feel forced to do or obligated to do against our will. Praise God, on the fleshly tables of our heart, the Word is being made flesh and dwelling among us. God is causing us to express His goodness and love. I came here and I heard the Lord saying, you've come to observe and to hear. Well, what else is it to do? How else are you going to get anything from belief unless you observe, unless you hear? And He said something else. I was thinking, well, yes, Lord, help me to watch everything, Lord. Look it over then. Lord, help me to listen to everything. Let's really pick it up and listen to everything. And, you know, I have. But the Lord told me something else. He says, I'm causing you to not only see people and hear what is being said, but I am causing you to see more of the fullness of my nature manifested in my children. And I praise God that I'm seeing not only the stone, I'm not only seeing the book, but you are epistles of the Lord, the Word of the Lord, written into every fiber of your being and into your mind and in your soul and in your spirit. And that's God doing it. That's God writing that Word there. Not that we might just preach it, but it shall be manifested in our character, in our smiles, and in our how do you do, and in our love you, and in our tears and weeping for others. The world needs to hear the message. And they need to see a demonstration of Christian love and Christian character like never before. Aren't you glad that God's writing it? It's not only a stone, not only a book, but it's here. Praise God. That was what the Lord gave me. Thank you. Was that brief enough?
You just heard what the Lord was having me say.
No,
it is really amazing. You go to these meetings, and I was sitting there, and the thoughts that were coming to mind were just follow right along what James was talking about. We're looking for the wrong appearing. You don't have to take this. It's not gospel. We're looking for the wrong appearing of the man Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And He comes to be glorified in His saints. And as I've said in groups where they already know where I stand, and I don't dare talk about a lot of other things because I'm already bidden to be burned at the stake for attacking the flyaway thing in the 70 weeks of Daniel, so why dump it all on them and let them put the torch to the sticks that are already under you? But by the year 2007, and that's the extreme that the TV flyaway people are talking about, they're going to have to revamp the whole thing because they'll still be here. And Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ in the flesh, will not have come. Not the one they're looking for. The one that will appear is the one that James is talking about. Christ in you, the manifested sons of God. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him. A better translation, when He shall appear, we will be Him. And we reflect Him. He comes to be glorified in His saints. So if you follow the principles of the Bible, that everything has to be established out of the mouths of two or three, you'll not find anywhere else that the Bible talks about a millennium. So it won't pass the test there. However, the millennium, as I might have mentioned, spending a lot of time in the Far East and some time in the Middle East, in the ancient languages, you never knew whether 1,000 was the number after 999 or it was just a big number. So 1,000 may be just a big number for on and on and on. And there are a few things that really upset me as I travel around. One is the people don't know the difference between Jesus and Christ. You can find in Matthew, 1:2 and Mark 1:2 and so forth, that His name is Jesus, Yahushua. Christ is a title or a situation. God's anointed or the anointing of God. So So Jesus is the Christ. He's the anointed one, or Messiah. It can be translated that way. And if you'll remember that when the word Christ stands alone in Scripture, you can tell in context, and if it is not specifically talking about the man Jesus, then think God's anointed, of which you are a part. And it'll make a lot more. Like for years, some time ago, back in 1960s, I would read the scripture in the Revelation, until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord, of the Lord, and His Christ. Well, I knew who the Lord was, but who's this Christ? It's us. We rule and reign with Christ on the earth. With Christ, yes, with His anointing. Not with Jesus, but with His anointing. Glory to God. And another thing that really bugs me. Glory to God, I'm spirit-filled. Well, my answer is you ought to go to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and get them cast out. No, you're Holy Spirit baptized. Get off of that spirit-filled stuff. It's hazardous to your spiritual health. So use the proper terms. I'm Holy Spirit baptized. I've received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and get off of the spirit-filled thing. And there are many other... Oh, and when you are still taught, you should be teaching. How do you study the Bible? Well, I hope you study it as it says. You have no need that any man should teach you, which is not a contradiction if we have apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers. And for the perfecting of the saints and the fulfillment of the work of the Lord. It's not saying that, but if the Holy Spirit is a teacher. Remember in John 17, after the Holy Spirit has come, He will lead you into all truth, and He will show you things to come. So when you open your Bible, pray that the Holy Spirit show you what He will show you at this time. The Bible is truly a living word, or maybe it's us in chains. But when I left to go to Vietnam, some dear ladies in the church gave me a beautifully bound Amplified Bible, which I had never read, the Amplified version. And I began to read that and see some interesting things. And the Amplified is an excellent study Bible. And during that time, when I was reading, if something impressed me, I thought it was important, I'd underline it. And if something I thought was a little more strong, I'd line it in green. And boy, if it really grabbed me, I'd redline that one. And I pulled that out about 6 years ago, and I'd look at those red linings. I wondered, what on earth did I see in that that impressed me? I'll go through now. I'd be underlining a whole different group. And the word didn't change. I think I'm changing. Just about 5 years ago, I was so impressed that we are changing, whether you recognize it or not. I was getting sort of drowsy. Even I don't drink soft drinks because they'll destroy you. And there's the equivalent of 8 tablespoons full of sugar in each of those lousy things, and sugars kill you. And NutraSweet's even worse. If you want to lose your brain, go ahead and drink it. But airlines will not allow their pilots to drink NutraSweet because it kills brain cells. But don't worry, the government's going to take care of you. They let them put it in there. And so I thought, to stay awake, I'll have a little prune juice, Dr. Pepper. I went up and I put my 75 cents in. 75 cents? I can remember when a Coke was a nickel. That's how old I am. And so the thing, nothing came out. And I hit the button and my 75 cents wouldn't come out. So I figured, I guess the Lord didn't want to drink that stuff. So I went in and got a bottle of water and drank that. It came out and a truck driver had put his 75 cents into it. And the same thing happened. Boy, he backed off. He kicked that thing. He picked up an oil can and chunked at it. And I thought, well, I guess I have changed. So we're changing slowly, some of us slowly. But it's encouraging. The Lord has said, in the last days I'll do a what? A quick work. Like in a moment, in the blinking of an eye. Hallelujah. But I was getting off. And also, now I use the King James. I read the Amplified, like Billy Graham said. He always studies Amplified because he said, I only know a little Greek and a little Hebrew. The Greek runs a restaurant, the Hebrew has a tailor shop down the street. But it does amplify words. I use the King James because with the Young's and Strong's, and they're back there, Young's Concordance is much easier to use. Now, Strong's does have some advantages, but I prefer Young's because a good example is the King James mistranslates, actually. Many words grossly mistranslated, but the most gross mistranslation in the King James is 42 times it mistranslates the Greek word aeon as if it were the Greek word cosmos. And so, the people go around, the world's coming to an end. Well, it's an age that's coming to an end. Aeon. And when it really is cosmos, now it makes that error 42 times. And so go through your Bible and change it, and it'll really change a lot of understandings on the Scripture. And really, when it says cosmos, we know the world's not coming to an end because he told Abraham that his seed would be on the earth for 40,000 generations. That's 40,000 years. And, of course, world without end and shall never perish and rule and reign upon the earth forever and so ever. It's not passing away. All those sort of things. But a translation of the cosmos is present order of things. There's about three. World, earth, creation, or the present order of things. So when it says, when it really is cosmos, think the present order of things. Because when this manifested sons of God take over, the present order of things change. And the whole bit. So get yourself a Young's and Strong's and the King James. Then we get into this thing, well, which translation's the best? Well, I use the King James because, as a dear brother said about NIV and the New American Standard and the New King James and all of those, and he said, listen, he said, I've spent 40 years correcting the King James. I'm not about to start over on some other one, so you just keep the King James. For heaven's sakes, stay out of the Living Bible, unless you want to give it to a kid, and they'll graduate from it. They'll finally get out of that, but those are good. So be well grounded in God's Word, and as James made the wonderful point, and I reiterate it, to overcome the devil, you're going to have to hear it again. And Glenn was using the term this morning. It is written. That's the way Jesus overcame the devil and his temptation. It is written. Sock the sword to him and twist it. It is written. So go forth in the power of the Lord and look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. God bless you.
There are two or three things that really bother me, too, about the Bible translation. And so since he started, I'll put mine in. One real quick. I know that it's practical to do, but the word cross does not appear in the Bible in the original language. It is a stake or tree. The word cross is a man-made word. It's not in the original. And another thing that bothers me much worse than that, I live with that all right. But another thing that bothers me, which really bothers me, is the word Gentile. The word Gentile is not in the original text. And every place that I found it in my Bible, I've run a line through it and crossed it out. Because it is not a biblical word. What it says, every place you can get your concordance and look it up. And every place the word Gentile appears, the original word is either heathen or nation. Heathen or nation. Depending on what it applies. If it applies to an individual, well, then it's a heathen. If it applies to a group of people, it's a nation. So the word Gentile is an erroneous thing, and it has caused great misinterpretation in our day. Because I am not a Gentile. There's not a soul sitting in here today that's a Gentile. You were never a Gentile. A Gentile is a heathen. A heathen or heathen nation. And I am not a heathen. And so that's a mistranslation. I could get into more of that.
because it carries on to other degrees as well in our concern about who we are and where we came from and like that. Now, another thing that bothers me a great deal is the use of the word Jew. I assume that all of you know who a Jew is. Who is a Jew? Who? Well, Jesus is a Hebrew of the tribe of Judah. A Jew is somebody who is of the tribe of Judah. That is all a Jew is, a tribe of Judah. It's been misused, it's been misapplicated, it's been misapplied. And James said that I can't quite quote it, but he said to the tribes scattered abroad. And so James, the brother of Jesus, at the time, he knew where all the rest of them were. He says, James 1, chapter 1, he said, James, a servant. Now, that word servant is wrong again. The original word for there is 401, and it's slave. James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to what? To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So James, in his day, knew where they all were. But what I'm getting at is, I'll read to you from Romans chapter 11, and also from Philippians chapter 3, I will read the same thing to you. Paul, writing to the Romans, and in chapter 11, he says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, and of the tribe of Benjamin. I've heard people call Paul a Jew. He never was a Jew. He can't be a Jew because he says he's of the tribe of Benjamin. So he's a Benjaminite and not a Jew. He repeats that again in chapter 3 of Philippians. And he said, finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of consciousness. Anyway, and the word dogs here really refers to homosexuals. For in the Bible, most places where it's dogs are called, it's reference to homosexuals. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath what whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Why? He says, I'm a what? Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and of touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. So there we explain it. Another thing, there are not 12 tribes. There's 13. Joseph became two tribes when his father laid hands on his two sons and gave them full birthrights. There became 13 tribes and not 12. And you will find, as you read through Revelations back through there, you'll find that's true there also. You'll find that that their tribe is listed as Ephraim, and then it says Joseph, or it says Manasseh or Joseph. One, it lists both as individual tribes. So anyway, that has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do with our walk with the Lord. It's just little things that I see and pick up that I like to correct when I find it. I just run a line through and I write in that. But most places in the Scripture where you find the word servant used, if you go look up your concordance, you'll find that word is slave and not servant. And
what Glenn is saying is not unimportant. It's very important when you listen to the TV Schofield footnote teachers. Footnote teachers, because you've heard, of course, that when the rapture occurs and removes the saints, with he that restrains the Holy Spirit goes with them. That won't work, because the 144,000 Jews are going to save the world in 3.5 or 7 years, whichever one of those eras you go for, without the power of the Holy Spirit. First off, no one can come to the Lord unless the Holy Spirit draws them. and conviction of the sin. The second one is there isn't 144,000 Jews. There are only 12,000. Revelation 7, whatever it is, it lists them there, and there's only 12,000 of each tribe. And they're going to do something impossible with the so-called 144,000 without the Holy Spirit that we haven't been able to do for 2,000 years with the Holy Spirit. And so it's just completely absurd. And the other bit is also that they get all the preachers out, and how can they hear without a preacher, and how can they believe, and so forth, and all the others. So there's so many things that get it. So, but what upsets me is this thing of making the Jews out to be God's chosen people. You hear that all the time. No, it's the Hebrews, the Israelites. And the two that came out of that was Ephraim and Manasseh, the two additional that came on the whole thing. And there's been a lot of work done on tracing the tribes. And we know, they knew where they were. And historically, you can still locate them as to where they are. The one that really woke me up to this was a dear lady by the name of Ernestine Young from Boise, Idaho. And this dear lady had sat down, and she knew how many Israelites went into Egypt and to the slave under the Pharaohs. Tells us in the scripture. We know how long they were there, and it tells us how many came out. So now she knows their proliferation rate, how they produce. And so then she calculated from that up until 1988 when she completed her calculation, and she found there had to be at least 300 million Israelites present on the earth today. And her quip was, nobody can lose 300 million people except your fundamental preacher.
Well, the scripture tells us that we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That absolutely is a commandment. We need to do it. We need to be faithful. We need to pray for those that are there, that are contending for that land, that God will bring salvation to them, break open their eyes, and that the Lord is moving mightily in that area. And he's moving without unbelievable among the Arabs. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of them that are receiving the Lord Jesus. And there are all kinds of healings and miracles taking place among them over there. And I trust that it'll rub off and get into some of those that are in Israel that are standing against the Lord Jesus. God is able to do, and He is doing, and He will do. But we're required to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And as we do that, then God will bring the Spirit of the Lord to bring conviction that will cause those in authority there to turn to the Lord.
Let me give you another, just what you were saying. You know, we're in the end time. We're going to see so many things that are contrary to what's being
taught. That we've been taught different. That's not going to be like we were taught it.
This is Isaiah 19, verses 22, 19 starting at verse 22. And the Lord shall smite Egypt, and he shall smite, but he will heal it. And they shall return even to the Lord. And he shall entreat them, and he shall heal them. And in that day there shall be a great highway out of Egypt to Assyria. You can't get to Assyria from Egypt without going right through Israel. And the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Assyria shall serve with the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians. And in that day shall Israel be a third with Egypt and Assyria. In other words, they will become a republic over there. They will be joined together. And even a blessing in the midst of the land. Now, this really upsets the Jews and others. Verse 25. Whom the Lord of hosts will bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance.
Benny Hinn has been invited by King Hussein to come to Jordan
and hold a campaign. That's unheard of, because Jordan is an Arab country, and we are Satan, Antichrist. Now, of course, he's got an American wife, he has, and he just went home last week from Rochester, New York, Rochester, Minnesota, for surgery for prostate trouble. But while he was here, he sent for something, and anyway, he has asked Benny to come over and hold a crusade in Jordan. And it's going to take place in the spring, and that will really start turning things over there. Really. Amen. Amen. And another thing, he's invited, and I think he's going before the year's out, to Ammon. That's Amman, that little country down on the bottom down there. He's been invited to come there and do the same thing. Now, miracle of miracles. To be invited by the authorities to come into the middle of the Arab peoples who are out to do away with the Christians. And he's invited by the authorities to come in and bring Jesus. So, the Lord does what he'll do, and it's beyond what we would ever think of, you know. Amen. Amen. Well, yes?
You were talking about the Jews and the Hebrews. We need to remember that we are adopted as sons of Abraham. That's right. And in the Hebrew, in the law, you can disown your son, but you cannot disown an adopted.
That's true too. But I'm kind of the belief that I'm a direct descendant of the tribe of Joseph. I believe that. Brother James, you getting up here for something? And then we got something else.
Yes, all praise the Lord. You know, the Lord said that he would rebuke strong nations. And it's him doing it. And I'm watching, we're seeing him do it, you know, tear down Berlin walls and remove Soviet Union, whatever's existing right now. He can handle it just like he handled the Berlin Wall. You know, down in my neck of the woods, there was a kind of a young guy that he went to church some. And he, you know, was enthused about the preaching, and he really wanted to preach. And he, an older preacher was his role model. And, of course, he only went to church three or four times, but he felt called to preach. But he heard this older preacher quoting that he would, the Lord would rebuke strong nation, they would beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And then he really liked the scriptures that said to go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come. Praise the Lord for compelling force. And that appealed to him real good. So he tried to memorize those scriptures. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come. But when they asked him to get up and share what he felt on his heart, he kind of got it mixed up, and he said, the Lord said to go out into the highways and hedges, take a sword and a plowshare, and beat the prunes out of them and force them to get saved. Well, he kind of got it. He kind of got his was a little mixed up in his actual words that he actually said. But I praise God for the idea that God has given us a conquering force. We are conquering, and we are not being conquered, whether it's Syria or whether it's Jordan or whether it's King Hussein or whether it's Belize. Praise God. Praise God for the, I know who's going to win in this last final world order. Jesus has got a new world order that is coming, and he's going to remove every one of them. And he's in the process of doing it. Praise the Lord. Well, you might get your scriptures mixed up like I do sometime. But praise God for the power that he's got us. You know, he's using us to rebuke those strong nations and to change them and to beat their swords into plowshares. You know, a lot of work and a lot of changing and a lot of transforming to take a sword and, you know, put it on the old anvil and heat it up and bend it around. Boy, that's really getting the job done. And Jesus is getting the job done. Do you want him to get it done through you? Yes, praise God. Amen.
I want us to pray for our brother and sister here this morning. He had uncomfortable night last night and this morning. Just what was the cause of it, we don't really know. Got an idea. But come on up here and let's lay hands on you and pray for you too and for send you on your way. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Now, the Lord sent them down here from Springfield, from the Holy City. They called Tulsa that, too.
Yes.
Anyway, regardless, and regardless of what, you know, what we're talking about, been talking about here this morning and saying, is really immaterial to my salvation or your salvation and that, but it's just little things that kind of we see, and maybe they may or may not be of any value. That's immaterial. The most important thing is that Jesus is Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And as we walk and follow Him, He's going to get the job done.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
But He's got to use you and me to do it. We're the only thing He's got to use. So we've got to remember that. And it says that we're His battle axe. And so a battle axe gets kind of beat up sometimes. Oh, if it happens, and it happens, and it will happen, and it does happen, we just got to get, then you got to get put back on the fire to get sharpened up.
Yes.
So there's never no end to it.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Continually being tempered, aren't you?
No? Yep, 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 yep.
Praise the Lord.
Well, praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Praise
Lord.
You,
precious
Father, I thank you, Lord, for bringing him this way.
Yes,
thank you, Lord, for the deliverance that has come.
Yes,
in their physical bodies, Father, and in their spirits. I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for strength and health for them. And that, Father, we rebuke any infirmity here that would take a hold of my brother.
Yes.
Father, to be other things that, Father, has been taking place. There's been deliverance come in this area, Father. We thank you for it.
Yes, Father.
Father, we impart the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to fill every area that in any way been vacated. We command these bodies, Father, to be restored.
Yes.
In the name of the Lord Jesus,
yes,
we speak healing and restoration. We curse any infirmity in this physical body. We bind and break its assignment, for it is written in Isaiah 53 and 5 that by stripes we're healed. And Jesus suffered that at the whipping post. And by the scars and stripes of the whipping post and the blood that was shed there, I command healing into this body in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Command restoration. Command healing in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father. Command this body to receive it in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
We impart it into it in Jesus'
we
name.
Receive
into
it.
My sister in the name
settle
of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you for it, Father.
Yes,
I praise you,
thank
Father.
You,
I thank you for it.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus, Father, I thank you for wisdom and guidance
thank
and direction
Jesus.
For them for the days
yes.
of my head.
Oh,
you shall be glorified in and through them as they think, as they declare that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus, yes.
I thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord.
Oh, yes, Father. Thank you.
I praise you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you. Amen. Let's lift our hands all together. You're getting quiet out there. Yes. And let's just worship the Lord a while. Whether you sit or stand, let's just worship the Lord. He wants worship from His people. Yes, Father, we worship you, Lord. For what you're doing, Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you glory.
Praise
Lord.
Okay, for you, sing Leah Force or anything. Phil, come up here, and between you two, we can praise the Lord here.
Well, praise God! I got caught by surprise, and I'm sort of blank. But isn't the Lord filling us with His love? Oh, thank you, Lord! Fill my way every day with love. Can you sing that as a chorus? Hallelujah. Fill my way every day with love as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Let's sing it all together. Sing it energetically to the Lord, to the Lord. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love.
fill my way every day with love as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with... All right, yes, let's sing it again while we sing it. Fill my way every day. You sisters, hug some sister over there next to you. You brother, hug somebody over there. Love is what it's all about. Love's what makes the world go round, I heard say. Oh, yes, Brother Speed, I love you, brother. I love you so much, brother. Appreciate you. Oh, praise God. Fill my way every day with love as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. All right, praise God. Clap your hands unto the Lord, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We've got something to shout about. We've got something to clap our hands about. Oh, thank you, Savior. Thank you, Lord. Isn't God wonderful? Oh, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise Him. Yes, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of... Ah, yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's wonderful. Great. I tell you what, I think God's got something else He wants to say. And let's just lift our hands to the Lord and just wait. Yea, the Lord says unto you, you have known how things have been in the past, and I have brought you unto this present time, saith the Lord, and indeed will I carry you on into things that you have not never known. And yea, as I told Abraham to go unto the place that I show you, and yea, different ones will go unto different other places that you have never gone, but yea, I will cause you to go into places in my spirit, saith the Lord, although your body stays in one place. I will cause you to advance and to go forward in more of my knowledge and more of my wisdom and more of my understanding and more of my nature, saith the Lord. For I have brought some into a place that they have begun to seek and to search as they have never sought and searched before. And I have told my people to seek and to search the Scriptures. And I have told my people to seek my face. But indeed I am stirring you to seek me in a new way, saith the Lord, because I desire to reveal myself unto you in a new way. For I am He that openeth, no man shutteth. And I am He that shutteth, and no man openeth. And I am closing doors that to you were unprofitable, where you have gone in and out and have felt like you have spent your time uselessly. But I am opening new doors where you can have perfect assurance that it is I who am leading you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Well, I don't think we can add anything to that.
Well, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Well, Irma Squint and everybody, don't forget their books and tapes, and all the tapes are back there.
Special request.
Oh.
Mrs. Earle, who's been here, the Earls have been here.
Uh-huh.
From Oklahoma City, I think. Anyway, they got home, and their daughter, Margie, is in a terrible state of depression.
Oh.
35 years old.
Oh, okay.
They want us to pray right away. And Howard called.
Chuck Howard. Yes, okay.
Okay.
Elizabeth. Well, Father, we come and lift Margie up before you over in Oklahoma. We come against this depression, you foul devil. We bind you. We break your assignment. We speak to you in the name of Jesus. I don't care if you're in Oklahoma or where you're at. You obey the word of the Lord, for it is written that we have authority over you, and I bind you out of that woman, and I break your assignment to destroy her, and loose her and come out of her now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Father, we lift Chuck Howard up before you. Father, we come against this infirmity, Father, in him, in his physical body. And I curse that infirmity in the name of Jesus, and I speak life to him in Jesus' name. You destroyer, spirit of destroying spirit, I bind you and break your assignment over Chuck. I release him, Father, in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to him. I appropriate the scars and stripes that you suffered at the whipping post. I appropriate them in his behalf. And I command his body to receive that healing virtue, because it is written in Isaiah 53:5 that by your stripes, Jesus, we're healed. And I appropriate that for Chuck this morning in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise. I thank you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.